Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you on this edition. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about basics, foundational truths this particular month because we need a solid foundation to stand upon if life is going to be lived differently as believers. And today we want to talk about the fact that God is love. You know, we have so many different ideas about God, what he's like, what his character is all about. But the Bible is very clear. It says that God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, we read this, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." So if we want strong relationships, if we want strong families, strong marriages, strong friendships, any of those sorts of things, we have to recognize that love is going to be the thing that makes those relationships worthwhile and strong and healthy and beneficial. So he says, "Let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." So what is the primary characteristic of God? What is he like at his very core? And this spells it out very clearly, doesn't it, guys?
Yeah, you know, you think about being infused with God's love. The Bible says that he's poured out his love in our hearts. And, you know, this passage in 1 John, it's really, you know, it's like love versus hate. 1 John is filled with contrasts. I mean, there's light and darkness, there's love and hate, and there's an innate love within us that distinguishes us from the world. And, you know, that love is for each other. And so, you know, I'm a child of God, you're a child of God, we're all who are in Christ, we're children of God. And so because of that, because we're in the same family, because we've been invited to the same table to feast on this incredible gospel, we have an innate love within us for each other. And what I love about that is that it creates unity. Like, God has rigged unity within us, that we are going to find ourselves compelled, inspired, motivated to love other believers. Yeah, we love the world. We want to see them come to salvation. We love unbelieving friends. But there is something special, an aroma of life to life between two believers. And God put that there. It's instinctive. The love of God has been infused within us and poured in our hearts, and that is just so beautiful to me.
It is beautiful, and I love what you're saying there, Andrew, in the sense that, you know, oftentimes we don't get along. Sometimes, you know, we say things to hurt each other's feelings, and sometimes we can do some pretty terrible things to one another as fellow believers in Christ.
Yeah.
And yet, there, like you said, there's this innate love within us. And the next time you see that person, you just melt. You just absolutely melt. And that sense of reconciliation, that sense of forgiveness just courses through those spiritual veins of yours, and you just can't help but reach out and treat that brother or sister with that kind of love. That's just the way it works. As you said, God has rigged it in that way, and it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know at the end of the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13, we read that this astonishing phrase, "Love never fails." And that's so true. Love never fails. And the Greek word there really is a word that means to fall away. So when Peter was in prison and those chains were around his wrist, and then the angel came and the miracle occurred, those chains fell away from Peter's wrists. It's the exact same word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails. Love never falls away. So as far as God is concerned toward us, he's never going to have a plan B. His love is always going to be the operative reality that compels him to reach out to us, to do for us what's to our best benefit. And we see that kind of love inside of us once we've come to Christ. And it's a beautiful, powerful, wonderful thing to know and, as the Bible says, to experience. It's really quite phenomenal. Yeah. And it's not like we have to do anything to get that, do we?
Yeah. I mean, it's in Christ. And if we've received Christ, then this is the connection. It's an irrevocable. I mean, it'll never be revoked. It's an irrevocable bond, unshakable. You know, I love the passage where God tells us through the Apostle Paul that the gifts and the calling are irrevocable. You know, people have grown up hearing things like use it or lose it. They feel pressure. They start thinking, well, gosh, I've got to have this spiritual gift if I'm really loved, and then I've got to use this gift right away, and I've got to use it all the time, use it or lose it, the preacher said. And so we start buying into this stuff, and ultimately we end up with a conditional God and a conditional relationship in our imagination. And that's not at all the case. As you said, Bob, there's no plan B. The gifts and the calling are irrevocable. It's unshakable. And that is what real love really looks like.
And that is real love, and it's really looking good.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
This is Basic Gospel, everybody, and we're glad you've joined us. We just want to give you the number once again, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. We also appreciate so much of you who stand with us every month to help keep this message of God's love and the new covenant in Jesus Christ continuing to march forward. It's you who help keep the good news going. Now, this month, we're making Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, available to all of you who step forward with a donation to this work that we call Basic Gospel. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net to make a donation and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Have an interesting question for you guys today. Yesterday, I was driving back from Waco, Texas to Dallas and decided to turn on some conservative talk radio. I was looking for something to keep me company. And I found a talk program, and the guy, Dennis Prager, was actually talking about the love of God. And he threw out a belief of his that he does not believe that the love of God is unconditional. He thinks there's conditions, that God has conditions placed on his love for mankind. And I think he was the only one on that program of all the callers that were calling in that agreed that believe that. Everybody else was saying, no, it's unconditional. So I thought it would be a good topic for us to talk about today because, Andrew, as you were mentioning before we went to the break there, there's a lot of people that look at God's love as conditional, and they're afraid that God doesn't love them because they haven't met the conditions that God requires for that love to be active. So is there a passage in the Word of God that really tells us that the love of God is unconditional? Or is that something that we just get as we kind of see just the overwhelming evidence about the love of God that has been given to us in Christ Jesus?
Well, you know, guys, I think first, in nearly every football game in the past few decades, you see someone holding up a poster that says John 3:16 on it. And, you know, that John 3:16 reference clearly says that God so loved the world. Well, when you slow down a bit and say, well, what did the world do to get that? What did the world do to earn that? What did the world do to maintain that? And the answer is nothing. In fact, we did the polar opposite. We ran away from God. We abandoned God. We were excluded from the life of God. And so yet, through Christ, God is demonstrating that he desires to reconcile everyone to himself. He says he begs you, you know, be reconciled to me. And John 3:16 saying that he loves the world, clearly that demonstrates an unconditional love of some kind because love is extended. The world didn't do anything to earn it. In fact, they did everything to reject it. And yet God is still extending that love and offering that love and giving that love. But I think the confusion just comes in with regard to salvation. Why doesn't God just run over everybody and make everybody saved and impose his will and impose his spirit on everybody? And I think, again, the answer is love. That's why, because he's a gentleman and he's gentle and he doesn't impose his life on everyone, whether they want it or not. He stands at the door and knocks, and we open the door and we receive his life. So, you know, he gave us the right to all those who've received him. He gave us the right to be called children of God. So to me, love and life are different things. And I think when you conflate them, there comes the misunderstanding. The love of God has been offered to everyone. Everything is on the table, but not everyone has the life of God living in them, because that requires opening the door. Why? Well, because God is not going to impose on us. He's a gentleman, and he will live in us, but there's certainly a decision to make in regard to being born again, isn't there?
Well, there is, and that's faith. Yeah. It's always a by grace through faith proposition as far as God is concerned. How would you answer, and Richard, chime in on this, I guess somebody saying, well, isn't that a condition? That choosing is a condition that would make God's love not unconditional, but conditional. We have to choose that.
Well, you only need one example to disprove that assertion, and that's the very beginning. You could say that God said, well, my love is conditional upon you never eating from that tree, and they ate from the tree. Well, if God's love was conditional, God would have said, okay, we're done with this experiment, wipe it out, never any history of it at all, and he'd start over. But God didn't do that. His love was unconditional. He said, you sinned, I'm going to fix it. And he began the initiative that brought us Jesus and eventual ultimate salvation. There has never been a time when his love was conditional. The choice for salvation is a choice, but his love is never conditional.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with everything Richard said there. I think we're differentiating between love and life. And when it comes to life, I think we need to agree with people. They say, oh, it seems so conditional. Salvation is conditional. Absolutely. Uh-huh. I mean, Jesus said, you know, they said, show us the works of the Father. And he said, the work of the Father is to believe. So, you know, it obviously there is something to be done, a choice to be made. There's an acceptance or there's a rejection. And there's warnings for people not to reject the gospel message. If they do, there's consequences for that. So clearly salvation is conditioned on whether we want it or not. But really that's what it comes down to. Do we believe it and do we want it? Do we believe Jesus? Do we want Jesus? And, you know, I know it's shocking to us, guys, but there are people out there who say no to those questions. I don't believe Jesus, and I don't want Jesus. Right. So that's what I mean when I say he's a gentleman. You look at the fruit of the Spirit, there's a gentleman in there, gentleness, kindness, patience. This is not someone that comes barging through the door, whether you like it or not, and dominates your life. This is a gentleman, and there are people who say, no, I don't want you, and no, I don't believe you. So that's why salvation is a choice. It's in the nature of God to give us that choice, and that's just part of what gentleness is.
Yeah, I think John really addresses this in this first letter where he defines God as being love. He also says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we have our own set of affections. We have our own love. Mm-hmm. And when we come into this world, that love is directed toward the things of this world, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the boastful things that we have. That's what our affections were directed toward. And it's the love of God that can move that, can move us away from the love of the world, where our hearts can now respond to the love of God that's been given to us in Christ Jesus. So, you know, Jesus said in that passage, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that light came into the world, but the world loved darkness more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there are some people that are going to say, no, I don't want you, Jesus. I want the things of this world. I want to die doing it my way. I don't want to have to bow my knee. I don't want to have to submit to you and let my life be done your way. I want to live for my will, not yours. And God says, okay, I'm going to be okay. And I think that's a part of his love toward mankind, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. There's freedom in that. People say, you know, some try to say that salvation is rigged, that everything is rigged, that we're basically robotic in our choices. But from the very beginning, we were given choices. In the garden, there were choices. You know, there's all kinds of crazy doctrines out there. Everybody knows that. You can go on Facebook and there's your theologians of all kinds pushing ideas like, well, the whole world, you know, Adam caused such havoc on planet Earth and Jesus fixed it all for everybody, no matter what, whether they want it or not. And the part where they say whether they want it or not, it's just been done. Well, that doesn't factor in the nature of God, the personality of God, the person of God, who has never been about just overcoming and superseding people's wills and invading their lives and doing things apart from relationship. My goodness, in the Old Testament, you see people conversing with God, dialoguing. There's a few times when he changes his mind, at least from their vantage point, because they've negotiated. I mean, this is a God who's engaging, pursuing, passionate about relationship. And, you know, he's not going to circumvent people's wills and turn us into clones or robots. And that's because he loves us. And real love doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Friends, want to remind you that this month, Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, is available to everyone who steps up to help us keep the message going. So with your gift this month to Basic Gospel, you'll receive a complimentary copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. All you need to do is click donate at basicgospel.net to request your copy and make your donation. Again, that's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, yours for your gift this month to Basic Gospel. I had a question from Clint, guys, and this is one that goes way, way back in my experience as a believer. Says a teacher in a teaching session asked the question, and it goes like this. Is anyone in this room as righteous as I am in the sight of God? Raise your hand. Then, is anyone in this room as righteous as the pastor of our church? Raise your hand. Billy Graham, the Apostle Paul, raise your hand. And is anyone in this room as righteous in the sight of God as Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. So the question is this an accurate way to show our redemption and the righteousness that we have in Jesus Christ?
Well, you and I both, way back when, at a lot of the seminars and conferences we did,
yes,
that was one of the questions that we would ask.
Yeah.
And you would certainly get folks raising their hands, you know, when it was compared to other people. But when you got to the Apostle Paul and when you got to Jesus Christ, you saw a real reluctance in folks to raise their hands and say, yes, I'm as righteous as Jesus Christ. Now, we had just taught for a whole hour, or maybe two, or maybe three, about the gospel and the fact that through the gospel there's a righteousness that is given to us that doesn't come through obedience to the law, but is by faith. It's a gift. It's his righteousness that has been given to us. So we had taught that, and then when pressing, you know, people to say, do you really believe this to be true? You saw a reluctance. And I think this is something that we really need to come to grips with, that God has not only declared us to be righteous, but he has, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we have been made right in every sense of that word, just as Jesus was right. We're right exactly in the same way that Jesus is. And boy, that's life-changing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's two words that theologians toss around, imputed and imparted. And imputed is a great idea. It's biblical. The Bible uses the word imputed. It means that righteousness has been credited to us. It's in our bank account, that God looks at us as righteous. And all of that is true and wonderful, but it doesn't go far enough. Then we have to teach the other part of righteousness, which is, hey, you've had a new birth. You're born of God. You're born of the Spirit. Like, you're born again. This means something. Righteousness is not just something in a bank account somewhere. Righteousness is you've got a new heart and a new spirit, and you're born of God, and your nature spiritually has changed at the core. And so, you know, God has shared himself. He's imparted himself to you. He's given you his life. This is real, and this is now. And, you know, a lot of Christians, guys, we've watered down righteousness because we're talking about it as if it's a bank account only. We're talking about it as if it's just heavenly bookkeeping or something. And we need to realize that born again is real, born of the Spirit is real, born of God means now, and that the righteousness of Christ has been shared with us. It's been shared with us in the person of Christ. And that makes all the difference, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. And I think when we understand that, there's two things that occur, at least occurred with me. You know, for so long, I questioned whether or not God had forgiven me of my sins. And every time I sinned, and back in those days, it was the same one over and over and over again. It was like, Lord, here I am again. And will you forgive me this time? And I never was sure. And then when I started understanding about the righteousness of Christ and the fact that he had shared that righteousness with me, that became proof to me that all my sins had been taken away once and for all, that I stood before God as a forgiven person. And that whole dump truck load of forgiveness had already been poured into me, and there was nothing more that needed to be done. So righteousness answered that question for me. And then the second thing it did, it gave me the confidence to really start trusting the Lord through thick and thin. You know, regardless of what the world was telling me to do, what other believers might be telling me to do, you know, what close friends might be telling me to do, there was this confidence that I started to develop, saying, I'm going to do what the Lord is telling me to do. And it was just that fact that I had been made righteous in his sight that produced that kind of confidence deep within me. Now, I'm not saying that I live out that confidence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but it's there. Mm-hmm. And when I'm struggling, eventually I'll see that confidence kind of surface. And it all ties in to this righteousness that has been given to me in Jesus, that I have been made right in God's sight, not only legally, but internally, that my heart has been turned toward him, and I can legitimately trust him regardless of what else is going on around me. And whenever that happens, there's just this sense of contentment and joy that is unmatched in anything I've ever experienced out there in life. So God is love. That's what we started the program today. That love never falls away. It's always there for us, regardless of what's going on in our lives. It's that love that has taken away our sins. It's that love that has made us righteous and given us a brand new heart in which we can trust the Lord every single day of our lives. That's good news.
That's good news. That's Basic Gospel. And folks, keep in mind that because of what you do, we at Basic Gospel are able to reach out to people across North America and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. You are very much appreciated. Now, one of the ways that we use to spread the truth is Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And this month, we're making Simple Gospel, Simply Grace available to all of you who help us keep the message going with a donation to Basic Gospel. Click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift, to make your donation, and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. If you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss, you can make that known by going to our website, basicgospel.net/ask. You can do that 24 hours a day. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow. Bye-bye.